Our family moved to Comox Valley in summer of 2017 after spending a couple years in Vancouver. Before that, we lived in the Okanagan, where I was a pastor at a church in Vernon. I was an associate pastor, primarily focused in youth and worship. And I spent time as a pastor for about 20 years. Today, I spend most of my days swinging a hammer as a carpenter in town, which is a neat change of pace. Kind of went the opposite way of Jesus. You know, did carpenter, went to ministry. I did ministry, went down the carpenter. So let's open this service in prayer. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and active and has the power to move in our hearts, to speak to the issues we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so as we turn to your word, we would ask that you would speak to us through its pages, that the words I speak this morning would not be my own, but that your spirit would speak through them unto our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a church, we've been working through the book of James. I've always liked the book of James because it's a real practical book. It outlines many practical things, deals a lot with how people should act in their lives as believers, those who follow Jesus. Some of those practical lessons that we talked about over the past number of weeks have included the importance of not favoring rich people over poor people, the importance of keeping a tight rein in our tongue, being careful of what we say. And all these lessons that we have are very helpful, really, whether you follow Jesus or not. These lessons in James are very helpful for how we live. And I also appreciate when things are plainly laid out. And the book of James really plainly lays out the many characteristics that should be in the life of someone who follows Jesus. So today we are talking about wisdom. And way back in the beginning of James, in James 1 verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." I remember reading this verse and thinking to myself, really, is it that simple? Ask for wisdom and you will receive it. Who doesn't want wisdom? Would anybody not put up their hand who does not want wisdom here today? Shouldn't we all be standing in that lineup? If someone said to you, "I'll give you a brand new vehicle for free, all you need to do is ask," what would you do? I think it's a pretty simple answer. If a car dealership put out a sign on its building and said, "Free cars to those who ask," what do you think would happen? Besides the fact that the car dealership would go out of business, there would be a lineup a mile long, would there not? And so with this simply laid out directive from the Bible, I thought to myself, I can do that. And so I spent a lot of time praying for wisdom. Now, I know there are some of you here today that are not as quick to jump at when you come across things in the Bible that say God promises, things that God promises to give us. You're not as quick to jump at those. If you were driving down the road and saw the same sign that said free cars to those who ask, your antenna would perk up a little bit. And you would ask yourself simple questions like, what kind of car are we talking about? Because your immediate response, there's got to be a catch. You have more of a cautious approach when things are offered for free. You hear someone at a prayer meeting earnestly praying for patience, and in the back of your mind, there are alarm bells going off. Isn't there some verse in Romans somewhere, something about patience being developed as a result of facing problems and trials? You've been down that road before. You know what the path to patience looks like. And it's not really an easy road. And so when you read about this free gift of wisdom in James, you are not as quick to jump on that wagon. What is the definition of wisdom? How would you define it? The dictionary defines it as the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It is the ability to understand, and because of that understanding, to act wisely. A part of wisdom is taking the experiences that we have in life, what we learn from those experiences, and applying what we learn, either from our mistakes or from our successes, to our future actions. But these definitions seem to be missing something. Isn't wisdom more than about being smart or learning from our mistakes? Isn't it more than about being successful? James chapter 1 verse 5 says to ask for wisdom if we want it. But it's not until James chapter 3 that James unwraps what wisdom is. That there are actually two kinds of wisdom. And one of them actually is not that wise at all from God's perspective. So the definition of wisdom, way back in James chapter 1 verse 5, when it said to ask for wisdom, that definition in your mind might not necessarily be the same definition of the wisdom that God is offering. So let's look again at James chapter 3. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. And we'll read it one more time. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving and considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So the Bible says there's two types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, and there's wisdom that comes down from heaven. And both of these types of wisdom come from different motivations, different ambitions, and its roots, and at its roots, different beliefs. What motivated you to get up this morning? Maybe it was the smell of coffee roasting in the kitchen. Maybe it was a kid jumping on you and waking you up. What motivated you to come to church today? Maybe your parents drug you. Maybe you came because you had some friends you wanted to visit with. Maybe you came for some encouragement and knew that the Bible would encourage you. And so that was your motivation for coming to church today. What motivated you to choose the direction of life that you did? What are your hopes for this life? And how do they affect the decisions that you make? We are driven by our motivations. What we do in life is influenced by them. So what makes those motivations wise or unwise? The foundation of wisdom really comes down to what we believe about eternity. In light of eternity, what really matters? Verse 14 and 15 say that earthly wisdom is motivated by selfish ambition. If you were to ask the question, in light of eternity, what really matters? Earthly wisdom would say, there is no eternity, and I am what matters. That's what earthly wisdom would say. It is a pretty dominant belief in the world that we live in. The belief that this is all there is. All you see around you, that is all there is. That there is no eternity. That life is finite. That there is no life after death. And if there's no life after death, then there is no account for what you do at the end of this life. Earthly wisdom says that you need to look out for yourself in this random, meaningless world. So this selfish ambition is often seen in a strong desire for material wealth or for status or for power. The focus of life is to get ahead. The drive is to be great in your own eyes and in the eyes of other people. It is a competing nature, always trying to be better than someone else. The Bible says this wisdom doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil, it says. And we know that the devil, when he speaks his native tongue, is a deceiver. The devil's deception was at work right from the beginning. we see in Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, for you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The devil convinced Eve that she could become like God. And the devil's deceitfulness has drawn in mankind ever since. The devil is good at deception, often hiding lies behind half-truths and misleading information. Eve's eyes were opened. She did know good from evil after eating the fruit. But she did not become like God. And death has been a part of life ever since. Earthly wisdom looks like it should work. Success and wealth and power look like they hold the keys to happiness. But it often does not lead to where we hope. When we buy into worldly wisdom and what we hope for in life does not materialize, we are left with feelings of dissatisfaction and bitterness. That's why Scripture also says earthly wisdom is characterized by bitter envy. You become envious of what other people have. And what you have just doesn't seem to be enough. That's the thing with worldly wisdom. It just doesn't satisfy, not long term anyways. Scripture says that worldly wisdom leads to disorder in every evil practice. People with selfish ambition and bitter envy take advantage of other people. They fight to get the upper hand. And sometimes the rise of power and wealth comes at a cost of oppression and loss to others. I think we can identify this pretty easy in the world that we live in. And unfortunately, it materializes at times under the banner of the church. Earthly wisdom is a temptation for us. Success looks inviting. It looks like it should satisfy. You see it on Facebook, so it must be true. If you're watching yet. It is a fight for us to reject earthly wisdom and live instead by heavenly wisdom. It takes effort. So then what is heavenly wisdom? Let's go back to the question. In light of eternity, what really matters? Heavenly wisdom says that God is what really matters. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw that in the scripture reading in Psalm 111. It's all through the Psalms, Job, a number of other Bible books. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? How would you define it? It is a healthy respect for who God is, an understanding of his greatness. When you look at the world and all that there is, you are awed by who God is. That is the fear of the Lord. This respect and understanding leads us to a place of trust, that we trust God. To fear the Lord is to trust him and to live in obedience to him, to live our lives as he asks us to live. Heavenly wisdom is rooted in humility. It considers others better than ourselves. Not false humility, but a humility that understands our own faults, our own limitations. This humility understands that we need God in our lives, desperately. Heavenly wisdom tries to fill the emptiness of life with selfish ambition. Heavenly wisdom understands that the emptiness can only be filled by God. Heavenly wisdom seeks to be pure, free from the contamination of the world's evils, peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy and good fruit. And we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. It is impartial and sincere, not favoring those who can advance our own cause, who can advance our own desires. Heavenly wisdom really is the understanding that life is not about you. If we ask for wisdom from God, this is the one thing his wisdom will teach us. And some of the cautious people are like, there it is, I knew there was a catch. The path to heavenly wisdom is not necessarily an easy one, especially if God has to root out the deeply embedded earthly wisdom that resides within us. It is work as he works that out of us. Heavenly wisdom is rooted in eternity. If you believe that this world is all there is, where does that naturally lead? It leads to a focus on this world and what we can get out of this world. But if life is the precursor to forever, heavenly wisdom is setting our affections and attentions on heavenly things, not earthly things. Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ our God. The Bible says that in becoming Christ's followers, we died to ourselves. We let God take over the pilot seat. We let his way become our way. And that's the journey of the Christian life. It is one of the reasons we meet here each week, is to remind ourselves what we signed up for, to encourage each other to stand strong, because our hope is in eternity. Heavenly wisdom also understands that people matter. They matter because they have been made in the image of God. And this is different from the world's wisdom selfishness that says, I am what matters. There's a scene in the movie Schindler's List that makes this point well. Schindler's List is a story of a wealthy German businessman named Oskar Schindler, who employed many Jewish people and used his wealth to bribe Nazis during the Holocaust in order to save Jews from the Germans' final solution. And in this scene, Oskar has to be sent away because the Allies are advancing. And the Jewish people that he saved are around him and they're saying goodbye to him. And they present him with a gift, a gold ring. And in this scene, Oskar breaks down as he comes to the conclusion that he could have done more. He looks at the ring and says, I could have got 2 more Jewish people from this ring. And he looks at the car that he's driving and says, I could have got a number more Jewish people if I had sold this car and gave it away. It is a very moving scene. And it moves us because we see his heart for saving people. Because people matter. They have been made in the image of God. Heavenly wisdom has its source in heaven, so it comes as no surprise that the greatest example of this wisdom is Jesus. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is our example of heavenly wisdom. When you read the story of Jesus, you cannot help but see the example of the humble, merciful, peace-loving, submissive nature of Jesus. He did not reject marginalized people. Think of when he healed leprous people who were crying out for him to help them. He spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes, those who others would not associate with. And he submitted himself to the will of God. He humbled himself to die on a cross for our sins so that we could be made pure and come before a righteous God. He is our example of heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom produces blessing. When we live by heavenly wisdom, it cannot help but bless other people. When our concern is for other people and their well-being, it blesses them. When we are peace-loving people, it blesses others. When we are merciful people, full of good fruit, it blesses people. That is what heavenly wisdom does. It blesses people. So where is your heart? In what is arguably one of Jesus' greatest sermons, he talks about the treasures of our heart. In Matthew 6, it says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." If you live by earthly wisdom, if your heart is set on the treasures of the earth, that is what you will get, where moth and rust eat away, where you continually live in fear of losing it, where it is never enough. It cannot fill the void. It was never meant to fill the void. If you live by heavenly wisdom, if you set your hearts on heavenly desires, the Bible says you will raise a harvest of righteousness. What we do here on earth matters. That is both exciting and a little bit nerve-wracking when you really think about it. We will have to give an account to what we have done in our lives. The Bible says that when we read through the Bible. It talks about us giving an account for what we've done with our lives. But God has rewards to those who live in obedience. What we do on earth matters. When we live by heavenly wisdom, the Bible says we will reap a harvest of righteousness. Will you ask for this kind of wisdom? Remember, James 1 verse 5 says, "Ask for wisdom and God will give it to you." Will you ask for this kind of wisdom? Some of you probably gotten the impression I'm saying, be careful when you ask for wisdom, that God has something hidden in the fine print. It is true that God's wisdom is different from our wisdom, from the wisdom of the world. But in reality, this heavenly wisdom will not disappoint. God's wisdom is so much higher than our wisdom, his thoughts than our thoughts. His wisdom will lead us to a place that is much better than we could ever hope for or anticipate. His wisdom will keep us from bitter envy and disappointment. It will not necessarily be the easiest way, but it will be the best way. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for these truths in Scripture, and we are bombarded daily by the treasures of the world and how people go after them, and we are drawn into them as well as people speak about their treasures or speak about what they're striving for. We are drawn into them as well, and it is a temptation for us, Lord, but help us to keep our mind set on eternity, that we know this world will pass away, but Lord, that you do not pass away. Pray, Lord, that we will keep our hearts and our minds steadfast on you, that as we come to church on Sundays, that we would encourage each other to do the same, that we would sharpen each other to that end. We thank you for your word and what it teaches us. In Jesus' name, amen.